Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel, which was read a few minutes ago. In case you missed it, this past Tuesday was Valentine's Day. But, of course, if you're in a relationship and you did miss it, probably in the doghouse, I'm guessing most of you didn't miss it. Some of you had romantic evenings and you exchanged cards and gifts. Others of you were probably like Jennifer and me. We said Happy Valentine's Day as we passed each other in the hall. And that night when we went to buy cold medicine, I took her to McDonald's. Some of you, and I know there's a bunch of you, couldn't care less that it was Valentine's Day. Maybe you even hate the day. I get it. When I was working at the restaurant when I was single, I hated Valentine's Day. All those mushy, lovey-dovey couples coming into the restaurant, I hated it. Now, I suppose that having one day out of the year focused on romantic love is not a big deal. But on the other hand, life is not about romantic love. Romantic love is an emotion, and at times a fleeting one. Instead, our lives are about true love, the love Christ has for us, and our love for one another. When it comes to love, it's natural for us to make that love conditional. This isn't necessarily the case between parents and children or within families, but generally speaking, we love those people who love us, or at least people we like. I'm guessing there were not too many people that sent Valentine's Day cards to an ex-spouse or to someone they hate. We love people because they have qualities we like. They're smart, they're attractive, they're funny, they have similar dislikes and likes. Movies constantly have the premise that a man and a woman are put together for some reason and they hate each other. They bicker and they fight and they argue. And then suddenly, somehow, they fall madly in love. Oh, we know real life is nothing like that. We don't fall in love with people whom we have nothing in common with, that we just can't stand any of their characteristics. We love who we like. But the love that we don't have for people we dislike often goes beyond just not loving them. Sometimes we have downright sinful thoughts about them. And Jesus kind of talks about that in our text. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." The eye for an eye law was given to keep people from going overboard when they were seeking vengeance. How often, though, do we even go beyond this? Someone hurts us, so we hurt them worse. Somebody offends us, so we gossip and we publicly slander them. Someone mistreats us, so we do everything we can to get back at them, to make them cry. It's human nature. We want our pound of flesh. We want what is rightfully ours. Is this really what Jesus wants, though? When St. Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins, isn't this what he's talking about? That we don't seek any vengeance or retribution? How are we to act toward our enemies? It's not clear where the teaching, hate your enemies, originated. It's possible that this was possibly came from the command to the Israelites to avoid their pagan neighbors. But what had happened was the same thing that happens with us. We don't just avoid our enemies, we hate them. But I don't think it's just for our enemies. I think so often we also refuse to show love to those people who aren't our enemies. Maybe you wouldn't consider your annoying classmate or your frustrating coworker to be your enemy. But you don't consider them friends, so you don't love them the way you should. You're civil, but you're not really concerned about them. Maybe you avoid them. You avoid talking to them or learning about them. You worry about all these things that happened in the past. And if you don't care for others, if you don't exhibit Christian love, you're treating them as enemies. The second greatest commandment in the Bible is love your neighbor as yourself. This means that love isn't conditional. It isn't based on what's in the other person. It's based on what is in us. Think about it for a minute. What would happen if Christ's love was conditional? What if Jesus only loved those people whom he liked? Those people who did just what he wanted them to do? What if he died only for the people who would exhibit his similar interests or do things that he likes? Well, I like to think that I'm a pretty good guy, and what I know of all of you, you're pretty good people as well. So we would like to think we would be on that list of people that Jesus would love. But would we? Are we good enough to be on that list? Do we deserve Christ's love? Probably not. Definitely not. We praise God then that his love isn't conditional. Praise God that he shows love for us every single day. God doesn't have enemies. People have made God their enemy. But what does God do? These people hate him. They reject him. And what does he do? Jesus tells us he causes the sun to shine on the good and on the evil. He causes the rain to fall on the believer and on the unbeliever. God has every right to deal with people who hate him as they deserve. But he doesn't. In the intro, we confessed, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. We have nothing inside of us to love, but he loves us. He blesses us when we don't deserve it, including the greatest love he could possibly have shown. St. John puts it this way, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins." There is nothing in us that should appeal to God. But because God's love isn't conditional, through Jesus' death, we are made appealing to God. We appeal to him because Jesus loved us enough to die and to suffer hell in our place. He died for his enemies. He died for us. And now we have the full measure of God's love. We have the full measure of his love, which means we have the full measure of forgiveness. We have love. We have forgiveness that have no end. Jesus, by loving his enemies, by loving those who whipped him and nailed him to the cross, he turned that preaching, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, he turned it on its head. It's easy to love friends. Even bad people do that. Criminals and murderers have friends. True Christian love goes beyond this kind of love, beyond typical love, beyond the love we have for friends. True Christian love is something that we have for everybody. And Jesus gives us three examples for us to look at. He talks about turning the other cheek, giving your garment or your belongings away, and by going the extra mile. Now, I need to be clear here. Jesus is not talking about being a doormat. Sometimes Christian love means defending yourself or your family, your friends, your country. Sometimes love means fighting back. But Jesus is talking about not extraordinary circumstances, but ordinary things. Don't return evil for evil, anger for anger, petty jealousy for petty jealousy. If you must suffer for being a Christian, so be it. True Christian love is part of us, and that means we endure wrongs. John puts it this way, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." I'll be the first to admit that this isn't easy. I have had grudges. I have refused to turn the other cheek. But by God's grace, I'm trying to do better. By God's grace, I am forgiven and strengthened. And I urge you to find strength in Christ as well. Look beyond your own hurts and love, because that's true Christian love. You see, we base our love for our enemies not on how we feel about them emotionally, but how God feels about them. When we do this, they are no longer our enemies because we're not conditionally or insincerely loving them, but loving them as God loves them and as God loves us. This is true love. It's Christian love because Christ loved us first, and now he lives in us. And as his people, we love. That's what we do. And we never stop. The first Valentine's Day was nothing about romantic love. Valentine was a priest living in Rome. And he was martyred for his Christian faith. Right before he was beaten and beheaded, tradition says that he gave a note to the daughter of his jailer. And it was written on an irregular piece of paper. In the face of death by his enemies, Valentine showed love, Christian love. He showed the love of Christ that lived in him. We have the same love in us. We have the same Savior who lives in us and who loves us as St. Valentine did. So we love, not just our family and our friends, but all people, even our enemies. We do this because Christ first died for us. And by doing so, he showed us what perfect love looks like. Amen. Now the peace which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.